And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another mystical, magical episode of Film Fracas.
Accio Fracas.
This is season six. We're talking about Harry Potter, all dim movies. They're great. Following the boy wizard, you know. I am your host for today, Carter. Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire, Spilliards? With me, I have Shannon, the Golden Snitch Widener.
Hello, hello.
I have Brett, the Triwizard Tournament Johnson.
I thought it was the Sorcerer Stone.
Sorcerer Stone. Yes, Johnson. Yeah.
Sorcerer.
That's right.
Ooh. I hardly know it.
And Robbie, the
Albus.
Robbie. Percival Wulfric Brian Shazer.
Yes.
We're here. How's everyone doing?
All is well.
Good. Good.
Ominous.
Are we? No. Yeah, well.
I'm doing quite well. I'm not ominous today.
We having a good day?
Okay.
I'm feeling a little low energy today. I don't know.
I'm feeling more of a Zed's Dead 4 today instead of Zed's Dead 5.
Yeah. I feel that.
4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5 tonight.
Sorry. Anywho, we're glad y'all are listening. We're talking about today magical battles, fights, conflicts.
Yes.
Of magic
wizard
variety.
Fights.
Wizard fights.
Wizard Fight Club.
So this is like, it doesn't necessarily have to be spell against spell, just magic against magic, which is pretty present in all of these. And then it's, you know, it's how important was this duel to what's going on in the story? Was this just some little fight that happens in the beginning of the movie and doesn't really happen again? And, you know, how significant is it? We're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down. It's going to be great. And, at the end we'll say a fond farewell to one of our movies.
Yeah. What did we say goodbye to last week?
Last week we said goodbye to Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Because it was apparently not designed appropriately, much to my chagrin. But
it should have brought more to the table.
You know what?
But it didn't.
I think it did. It only brought.
Guess you were wrong.
It only brought, half a blood's worth. Princely.
Yeah.
Boo.
Whereas the other movies brought a full crit.
Sure.
Anywho,
anyway,
let's get started.
Shannon, what's your number one for our magical wizard fights?
Episode
of Film Fracas Spectacular.
Wow.
Alakazam.
Let me tell you.
Wingardium Leviosa. Leviosa.
Leviosa.
It's not Leviosa. Leviosa.
Oh my God.
My top pick for this week, which I've really been sitting on since I rewatched this movie, was Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. The ultimate dual battle sequence.
Yes.
In the Ministry of Magic between Voldemort. He's back. And Albus Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
Always, I mean, aside from the fact that it looks visually stunning, it's one of the first times, I think, that we really get to behold Albus Dumbledore and all of his badassery. Much like my preference for seeing Yoda and all of his badassery with his Jedi flips and cool things, I attribute some of those same principles to Dumbledore. I mean, it's just extremely moving. It's shot in the Ministry of Magic, which has some pretty great production design, if you didn't already know. And I love the elemental. It's old. It's very surface level of the, you know, the fire and the water ice looking fluid thing. That principle is not exactly new or riveting, but I think it's spellbinding. So for that reason, I mean, it's incredibly captivating. We've just come fresh off of Sirius Black. If you didn't know, you know, dying.
He died.
It's very impactful. I mean, it ends with
this confirmation
that he's back. But it's a big deal because when you're denying, you know, that evil incarnate has come back to be his normal self, it adds a lot of gravitas to this scene.
Yeah.
So, 5. Order of the Phoenix. That's my top pick for the week.
Yeah.
Break it down.
I always thought of it as like This was very much, like you said, the Yoda versus Emperor moment.
Yes.
Like, yeah. From Revenge of the Sith. I was always like, damn, this is so cool. Like that. Order of the Phoenix is also my number one.
Would you look at that?
Purely for that reason. Order of the Phoenix, not my favorite of the movies, but easily always been my favorite wizard fight because it's dope as hell.
Sticks out. I mean, you see him like brandishing that one, and like, it's just like, you know.
Even the sound design of that scene, like the water spells have that like interesting kind of sound effect. Sound, and then the
like
fire.
Like
yeah. Well, it's got like an interesting.
It sounds like running water.
Yeah. There's like a tone with it, though.
It sounds exactly like you would expect it to, but like that's a testament to the fact that like it's like well done. Like it,
And then
there's
even
not an element of
also
oh
that,
this sounds weird.
In that film you've got like all of the wizard duel before that in the like chamber with
100%.
The arch is super cool. Like the double duel of like Sirius and Harry against Lucius Malfoy, and then like all the other battles around it. It's a very cool moment, and like you have the white smoke apparitions of the order, and then the black smoke of the Death Eaters, and they're all like fighting each other. It creates a very like visually interesting moment, and then the kind of chase through the Hall of Prophecies and stuff, and the spells that destroy all of the prophecies.
All of the prophecies exploding into
you get Neville using Petrificus Totalis.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh hey, remember when that happened to Neville in the first movie? Look at him coming into his own.
Yeah, you get a lot of cool stuff, especially because that whole movie is like they're training and training and training, and their whole thing is like, when are we ever actually going to use this? And then at the end, they actually use it.
It pulls
together with the story really well. And it's one of those things of like, Voldemort comes back in Goblet of Fire and he fights Harry, and you're like, where do they go from here? And then the next one, they're like, oh, fucking Dumbledore's going to fight Voldemort. But then like Dumbledore doesn't even kill him. And so it's like, what do we do now? The most powerful wizard that we know can't beat him. You know, where does it go from here? So from a story standpoint, I think it's really good.
It is pretty good.
That's why Order of the Phoenix is my number one pick. Also the Umbridge, like in the giant fire dragon firework is pretty cool too.
That's pretty good. And then, like talking about Umbridge, how Umbridge is all like, why will you need to defend against the dark arts when you won't be, coming up against the dark arts? And then it's like that big final battle and everything, like
the dark arts
mirrored really well against it. And like, Order of the Phoenix is my number one, too. I think, like, talking to you guys and talking to other people around, I've come to the realization that I think I like Order of the Phoenix a little more than it seems like the general population does. Like, but that's neither here nor there. I
think I've definitely come to understand why there is a faction of individuals who stand by Order of the Phoenix, because I used to not find as much to enjoy, and watching it again, while I still don't think it's a perfect movie or a perfect adaptation of a really complex one of the longest, if not the longest novel.
It is the longest.
It's one of the shortest movies.
Interesting.
There is a lot there that I do like and that I've come to appreciate. Yeah. So I support you, Brett.
Like, it's not a call out or a look at me or anything. Yeah. It's just a general observation that I've seen, but Order of the Phoenix is number one just because of like the sheer cool factor. There's nothing I can say that you guys haven't already said, but it's like thinking about like just trying to go through the movies and like what's the biggest like confrontation or battle or fight that happens, and like this is always the one that comes to mind, of just like the giant fire that Voldemort conjures, and like the giant water orb Dumbledore gets him.
The glass shards and stuff, and he turns it into dust and sand.
Yes.
I really like,
so good.
Because the beginning of the movie like establishes the Ministry as this very like prim and proper place, and at the end they're just destroying all of it.
Hell out of it.
Because I always think of the Dumbledore fight with the water and fire. Then I also think of that you talked about like the Sirius Harry 2-on-1 where he's like, where Harry like disarms Malfoy or something.
Yeah.
And Sirius just goes, nice one, James. And he just like goes at him. And it's like, oh damn. Like that scene always gets me. The death of Sirius, I'm always like, well, there goes a character I like, but it's always when he's like, nice one, James, and just goes at him. I'm always like, oh my.
Yeah.
Feeling.
That is
one of his last lines.
That gets me more than his death. And I'm like, is this a comment on me or a comment on the movie, or that's neither here nor there. They're two really good fights, and just for the cool factor alone and everything that you guys have said, I put Order of the Phoenix at number one.
Yeah. Not strictly magic, but I do like, it's one of the few moments of like of like actual physical confrontation in the series, of just when Sirius just punches the shit out of Lucius Malfoy.
Oh yeah.
It was like Hermione does it in Prisoner of Azkaban against Malfoy, and then he does it, and then Voldemort, we'll talk about it in a little bit, just fucking hits the, like, bitch slaps Harry all over the place in Deadly Hallows Part 2. Yeah. So much.
Oh, and then Nagini attacking what's Ron's dad's name?
Arthur Weasley.
Yeah, Nagini attacking Arthur. You get that in like the dream sequence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, what?
Yeah. So my number one was also the Order of the Phoenix. And I think something that, I mean, it comes down to my top two being Order of the Phoenix and Deathly Hallows Part Two, I think. And what I think the idea of payoff that we talked about is a reason why I put Order of the Phoenix above Deathly Hallows Part Two. And that's because, like, by nature of being split into two movies, there's not as much payoff in, you know, the one movie being all the buildup is in another movie. And so it's the payoff for another movie, whereas this is the buildup and the payoff. And I feel like it feels more complete. It feels more satisfying if you were just to watch this alone in a vacuum. Also, just giving some love out to that fight. We've seen other people fight with, you know, magic and wands and stuff before in these movies, but I think it's really cool to see Dumbledore and Voldemort, who are both, you know, at the top of their game, two of the most powerful wizards to have ever existed, and just to see them going, like, no spell names being thrown out, just whipping the wands around, that kind of silence you get, like, for a split second between, like, the lightning firing off one, you know, one wand aiming at the other person, and just, like, that almost crack of the whip sound that's going on throughout the whole thing, followed by just brief silence before someone else shoots off something. I think it's really well done. I think it's just a fantastic, other than that, it's a fantastically shot scene. Mm-hmm. It just looks really cool. So those are my heaps of praise. I have everything else you guys said about it. Number one, Order of the Phoenix.
It is a particularly kind of quiet scene. I like that you pointed that out. Cause there is, there are moments, they're not like, there's not some kind of like great score, you know, playing nobody's behind it or anything. It's actually, I don't think there's any music accompanying it.
No. At least at that first part for sure.
Yeah. And it swells back in a little bit when Voldemort possesses Harry after the battle's basically over.
But it's not like an overblown.
But there's spectacle. It's just.
And I think that's because the overblown spectacle happened in the other room. You had so many people all, you know, yelling and firing spells at each other.
And it was kind of hard to, like, kind of tell what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, it's also good because you're like, you have that moment with Sirius and all that, and you're like, oh, this is the climax. Like, that was it.
But wait.
And he runs out, and then Voldemort and Dumbledore shows up, and you're just like, oh my God. And also, I forgot to mention this, but the bit in Dumbledore's office when he uses the phoenix to escape.
Yes.
And Kingsley's just like, you may not like it, Minister, but you have to admit, Dumbledore's got style.
It is so extra.
Might be my favorite moment in...
Fire clap! In, gone!
Yeah, one of my favorite moments in the entire series. But it's real
but
good.
But yeah, just that. I mean, other films, because, like, if we're comparing it to, you know, something like Yoda fighting the Emperor, or Yoda and Dooku in Attack of the Clones, like, there is that moment when, like, Yoda steps in and like kind of the music swells underneath him and you're like, oh, it's about to be badass. But I just love that it's like, the big fight, the, you know, sensory overload is over. This is, you know, deathly serious. Like, you know, like, you're going to watch this and it's going to be raw. Like, and I just love that moment. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Order of the Phoenix, number one, across the board.
Pretty easy.
Not much of a fracas.
Easy peasy.
The rest of it can, whatever.
Who knows?
So I already threw out my number two. I said my number two was the Deathly Hallows Part Two. I think to be an entire movie that's almost
all built wizard
around wizard battles.
It's also my number two.
Yeah.
It's also my number two.
I also think that the Battle of Hogwarts, the way that it moves between different segments of the castle with different people fighting, it has, well, I said it didn't have in a vacuum payoff. It's got series long payoff.
Yeah.
I think you've got your, you know, fantastic moments. You've got, you know, Molly Weasley calling Bellatrix a bitch and then just
destroying her.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get stuff like that. You get not, I mean,
Well, before you move on with that real quick, my one complaint with that scene is how, like, that scene is, like, made for, like, the audience. And, like, we know, like, they know the audience is going to be cheering. So Molly takes that second to, like, look into the camera and, like, pose triumphantly when there's still the battle going on. And if, like, if that was a real battle, someone would have been like, oh, hey, there's someone with their guard down. They're dead. It's like, that's my one gripe with that scene. It's like, okay, this
fan service exists?
Oh, it exists. Right. It exists in the book, too, there, doesn't it?
Right.
Isn't it also just pretty much like, Molly steps up, says, not my daughter, poses. You bitch.
Yeah, no, she does the not my daughter, you bitch. And then it basically says, says Bellatrix is just gone. Like, I don't, it doesn't say she dies. It just says she's gone. And they pretty much do that in the movie.
Yeah. And like, and this is a personal taste thing of how just quickly she just takes out Bellatrix when it's like, oh, I thought Bellatrix was supposed to be some like huge, major, big deal. And Molly just casts a spell and she's done for.
They had been like dueling back and forth, and then it just shows us the end of it.
I always remember it of just like,
I mean, she goes up and she's about to kill Jenny, and that's when it like,
and then Molly's like, not my daughter, and then like flip and then she's done, and it's like, wait, I thought.
This movie also establishes that a mother's love is probably the most powerful kind of magic.
But then it's like, why didn't we just get Molly Weasley on the front lines?
We should have
just take out Voldemort.
Exactly.
Like, because the Wizarding World is also sexist.
Exactly.
But that's just a personal thing.
Yeah. No, like, it's a fair thing.
There's so much other good stuff in that movie to like outweigh like any minor gripe I might have.
I mean, aside from like the big magic battle, you've got the Gringotts sequence that's got some good magic mantles and a dragon in it, which makes it cool.
There's a dragon. Makes it
cool.
I mean, I would watch pretty much anything with a dragon in it.
That's true.
There's Nagini murdering Snape.
Neville murdering Nagini.
Yeah, Neville triumphantly killing Nagini is good.
The whole Fiendfire sequence in the Room of Requirement.
As I mentioned earlier, Voldemort just bitch slapping Harry all over the place when he comes back to life, like hops alive, and then they're like running around and just slaps him, hits him, like picks him up by the neck.
There's some weird stuff that I didn't like at first because I was like, this isn't how the book described it, but like them co-apparating or whatever happens
like
in their faces.
Clawing at each other's faces.
And they like kind of morph together for a second. Like
morphing and kind of splitting.
Yeah. And I was like, I got mad when I saw it. I was like, this is not how the book describes any of this. And I was like, this is actually kind of cool for a movie.
My Harry Potter friends in high school were so mad. Like, they were like livid. They hated that scene. And I was like, I thought it was pretty cool. They're like, that didn't happen. That's not what happened. And I'm like, okay, but it was still a pretty cool looking scene. Like, calm down.
I also decided that there are bigger gripes with this movie in terms of like faith to the books, not that it should affect your ranking or anything. I think that it's a very poignant point of the books that when Harry wins the battle, Voldemort just falls down dead like any other body.
Like any other human.
And it's like,
he turns into ash and dust. And there's like tribal drums playing.
It's this whole thing in the book that he's like, he was actually no better than a normal human. He was nothing special. He died like anyone else.
Yeah.
But and so we get this.
Wizard Nazis are still humans and can die like humans.
Yeah.
Are you saying Nazis are people too, Robbie?
Nazis are people in the sense that they can die.
There you go.
Good wording.
Film Fracas does not support Nazis.
No,
Film
absolutely not.
Does not support Nazis. Jury's out on this Liam Neeson thing until that's solved.
And then aside from like the wand on wand action, like the stone soldiers and all the creatures,
that's really cool. Yeah.
Everything else is really cool. And then I mentioned like it
destroying the barriers. Cool
yeah, that's what I was about to say. Just Voldemort unleashing like that's just like Omega Blast or whatever, and then it's not quite like a magic fight, but like Seamus blowing up the bridge and everyone coming after him. Like there's a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah. And there's also like when they make the shield and then the guy just runs through it and just dissolves.
Yeah.
Like,
that shield is no joke.
Like what did you think was gonna happen?
Oh.
You're kinda sitting there thinking it's gonna be just like a wall.
My only complaint is that it's like
stops existing.
Eventually, there's a lot of duels where it's just, I'm pointing my wand as hard as I can.
Like, I mean,
the beams are hitting each other.
Sometimes you get the beam struggle, but again, like with the Bellatrix thing, there's enough other like good stuff to outweigh that.
But there's just, this is also, I always go back to it and it's always like, that's the last moment. I do always like though, when Harry finally disarms him and you get that slow-mo shot of the wand
the
just
wand
flipping through the air and then he catches
perfect
it.
Like he
they're both like, or before that, they're both just like army crawling on the ground. You also have to think like, Harry at this point's 17, but Voldemort's
he's
like...
He's also back from the dead. That can't
Voldemort's,
be it, you know?
Voldemort's like...
Easy on the body.
Voldemort's like an 82-year-old man. He's like army crawling on the ground.
Not related to like anything, but it's kind of like when the battle like restarts after Harry comes back to life. I just think there's something so funny about how it's like, it's not like a handheld shot, but like the camera's just like moving around. You just see Harry just like run off and just like jump.
He just runs.
It's like someone spotted Bigfoot or something. Harry's just like, it's like, wait, where is he going? Oh, Harry, we need you. Like, I don't know. I've always just thought there was something like funny about
that. That's a good moment. Like the weird, awkward, like Voldemort hugging Draco, and they're all just standing around, like, oh no, oh no. And then awkwardly Harry just like, because they don't like pan the camera over to like watch him heroically like
go
back and run away. You just
like
see him out of the corner. Yeah,
over to somebody
it's like
else,
the periphery.
And then, come back
and then like, everyone like gasps.
Is that the same like sequence with like the Voldemort laugh?
Yeah.
I remember watching that a whole lot back in high school.
But it was good. So, yes.
So us three.
That's our number two. What's your number two?
I actually didn't have it as number two, but it wasn't too far off the mark. I had part two as my number three choice, and I had part one actually as my number two choice. When I was making this list, I was thinking it was more like one-on-one kind of duels, a little more traditional. And I'm still going to go ahead, I guess, and argue for part one. I'm working off of the introduction sequence where they are transporting the numerous Harrys to the Burrow. And Harry ends up landing, actual Harry ends up landing at the Burrow before anyone else and runs off into the surrounding vegetation looking for, I believe it's Bellatrix Lestrange. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, that's in Applet Prince.
No, is... In the beginning of part one, they're at the Burrow.
They go to the Burrow and they're safe, but it's in Haplet Prince that he like runs out to chase Bellatrix because they've lit the Burrow on fire. Like Finrug Greyback and Bellatrix are outside the Burrow and they're all going out running to
she's doing
catch
her
them.
I thought they set the Burrow on fire in part one.
No,
didn't they set the Burrow
that's
on
in
fire
the Haplet Prince.
One, they...
That's during the Christmas break of the Haplet Prince.
Yeah, because
part one starts because George gets brought in and he's missing
unholy.
The ear.
Okay.
And like they don't fight anyone at the Burrow.
And
well,
then there's a wedding.
Then there's the wedding.
Then
they get the message on the Patronus.
Yeah. Okay. And then they all just disappear.
All right. Well, my number two movie was actually Harry Potter. No. So what else am I thinking of now for part seven?
There's the transporting the seven Harrys,
seven
and then there's the thing at the coffee
Harrys,
shop.
There's the coffee shop.
The coffee shop
battle,
which I really like that coffee shop battle.
I like
just
the coffee shop
how
a lot, and I think
that
I was
one small room.
Thinking about your argument
you,
a lot.
You get that, and then
Malfoy Manor being the big one with Dobby and throwing
at the
knife
end.
As he's leaving,
and then I have part one at my number three.
Okay.
So,
what else am I thinking of though?
There's the stuff in the ministry. There's all that stuff.
Oh, that's right. There's
the
stuff in the ministry as
like,
they're
like the stink bomb. Like
they're running away from everyone, and the polyjuice potion is bubbling off.
The Patronus against Umbridge's Dementors.
Patronus against
Umbridge's
Dementors.
The one that always sticks out to me and like really put it up so high was when they're like running from the Snatchers in the forest. Mm-hmm.
At some points, I'm kind of like, okay, is that really enough magic, though? Because it's kind of like a quick glance away, but it's a stunning shot and a lot of parkour. But
there's just a lot of running.
Yeah, so that's
I really like that one just because of like it's like, oh shit, like they're in like actual like
this is about as life or
danger.
Death as it
like yeah, because like that thing in the coffee shop, it's like oh, like you know it's about to go down, but this like it happens so suddenly, and then it's like yeah, it is just kind of like. Pointing and parkour, but it's also like there's a whole lot of back and forth with it. Just
there
kinda,
is
like, explosions everywhere, and then like I forget, does Hermione like She hits Harry with something to kind of like change it, like
yeah, his face gets all swollen.
She like yeah does
and then he's like oh my name and he's like oh my name's Dudley and they're like oh there's no Dudley on our list let's take him anyway but like because it like it is like oh the danger is so like it's actual real danger and then you also get Ron like destroying the locket with the sword
yeah that's cool
and that plays into Ron's big like redemption because he throws his hissy fit after like being like corrupted by the locket and runs off and it's like wow what the hell man like
what the hell and I think
think of more than yourself and like talking about like significance and story wise like him going up against his fears and the locket
came in
that's really big and I really like that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, not every single scene is structured or, you know, grounded in some sort of magical battle. But the moments in, I mean, every moment in which there is a magical battle in part one, it's done really well. There's a lot of detail. It's smaller. It's on a smaller level, I think, than you're going to get, obviously, for part two. I mean, part two is you know, a clinic on how to do pretty engaging much. Magical battles. Yeah. But yeah, so I mixed things up and put part one as my number two. But yeah, I mean, part two was not far.
So part two, number two.
Part two is at number two. Number three. It. Brett said you have...
I have part one at number
You have part
three.
One? Okay. Carter?
I have the Sorcerer's Stone at number three.
I have the Chamber of Secrets at number three.
Also, what?
Do tell.
So I speak. So I guess
Make
part,
your case,
so I guess part
good
one's
sirs.
Number three just by sheer majority then.
Because
if I have part one at number
I've
three,
got
Shannon
it,
had it at number two.
I've got it at number four.
I will tell you it's my number six.
All right.
Defaulting
to
that is...
Let the fracas begin.
Yeah.
Defaulting that is not my preference.
Accio fracas.
And I guess I can say why I think it is my lowest.
I mean, like...
if we want to get into that.
To me...
let's talk about your guys' number threes first.
Okay.
Sorcerer's Stone.
So Sorcerer's Stone, it's not as much wand-waving... But I think there's a lot of great, and it's kind of in the multi-stage ending part. And so you have like just each of the challenges kind of is a different magical test. And they're like 11-year-olds. And so it's a little bit simpler, but I think they're all still like in the design and execution in the movie itself are really cool. And so it's like getting past the Fluffy and like getting through the Devil's Snare. And
the chess game
is incredible. And then finally, like the confrontation with Voldemort, and it's truly kind of a, you're like thrown off because it's Quirrell and you're like, all right, this is weird. But then it instantly gets more terrifying because there's a head in the back of his head, like a face in the back of his head. And, he just screams like kill him. And all this fire like bursts up around. And then there's just something I've always liked a lot about like Harry's, you know, like basically extreme dehydration of
Freeze dries the motherfucker.
Freeze dries him to dust. It's a very kind of like almost Raiders of the Lost Ark-esque ending.
Yeah.
That I've always really liked. I just always have really loved the like visual of him. And it's also like Harry's first real conquest of Voldemort, where it's like everyone's talked about like, oh, he's the boy who lived. He beat Voldemort. And you're like, oh, is he going to be able to beat him again? He's only 11. And sure enough, he can.
I would also point out that while
each challenge shows like a test for each of the three main characters. Mm-hmm. And so I've always just loved like the simplicity and the design of all of the ending parts.
Yeah. I will also say that despite the fact of seeming much simpler, that in story-wise... this is a path to the Sorcerer's Stone that is designed to stop just about any wizard. You know, like, adults aren't pulling this shit off. Like, this is very much like...
And the keys.
You should be very impressed that Harry, Ron, and Hermione can get through.
Or you just be like, damn, Nicholas Flamel is a fucking chump if little kids are getting through all of his defenses here.
But I mean, isn't it really Dumbledore?
It's Dumbledore.
I guess Dumbledore's really they're...
Well, Dumbledore's a fucking chump if just 11-year-old kids can get through this.
Or different professors designed different...
Yeah, well, with it too,
I'm just
like,
being facetious.
Oh, no, you're good.
Like, but it's like, I always like to think that Dumbledore kind of had an inkling as to what was going on, because he was always so meddlesome anyway, especially in hindsight. He definitely was like, well, we'll see what Harry does this time. I don't know what's going to happen. So he was like, we'll help him out.
Yeah. Yeah. Chamber of Secrets, well, once again, not a lot of wand waving. It is a, I will say, a magical sword, a magical beast, and a really, I think, a stellar confrontation between the ghost of Tom Riddle from the diary and Harry, and just a match of wits and quite, you know, the reveal of, you know, the words, the letters jumbling up from Tom Marvolo Riddle to I am Lord Voldemort. I think it's, it's a, you know, as trivial as it seems.
Okay, you know, when I, okay, we're going back to the books just real briefly, but it's the exact same thing adapted from the book. I remember reading that and being like,
it is such a good reveal.
I think it has
over the years, it kind of has this, I think it's got some age to it, memed, or maybe because everyone
is memed for good reason. Just, I mean,
like, but yeah, I think the basis of a meme is the fact that it sticks in your brain.
Right. And it's very, you know, transmittable.
You can see it and you go, I didn't see that shit coming at all.
But on topic of Chamber of Secrets and memes, I saw this one that just killed me. It was Harry writing in the diary. And he's like, my name is Harry Potter. And someone edited it. So Tom Riddle responds, your mom gay. And Harry says, no, you. And then that's just it. And it's just, oh, beautiful. My God, it killed me. I thought it was good.
I think, and I may be willing to switch where I have Chamber of Secrets, then Sorcerer's Stone, and our conversation about Sorcerer's Stone and the way that it's designed maybe a little bit better than Chamber of Secrets. Mm-hmm. I would be willing to flip those and say that.
Yeah. I've got Chamber of Secrets last.
Okay.
It is. I love the spectacle of him fighting the basilisk. And I also quite enjoy the duel between Harry and Malfoy, and also the whole Cornish Pixie scene. But overall, I found...
You don't like a kid stabbing a book with a fang?
Yeah, I found it to be the least compelling.
It's fun.
Yeah, the least compelling of the fights. But yeah, so
I'm probably going off to payoff here. That mm-hmm. like, whereas I don't feel that part one has a lot of payoff, I feel like it's a lot of build up for another movie. I would say that like the Chamber of Secrets or the Sorcerer's Stone really do, like when we were talking about subjects, they mm-hmm. serve, they're really cool subjects, and they really do,
yeah,
you know, embody the payoff of those mm-hmm. entire films. You know, you spend the movie going, what is the Chamber of Secrets, and you get that grand reveal, and you get, you know, it is, you know, there's a reason why it's, you know, several play sets, several Lego, you know.
Well, in part,
it's a cool place, it's well done, it's a fun, memorable scene. But like I said, I'm willing to say that Sorcerer's Stone is better and switch my list.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here with just real talk. I have Chamber of Secrets last as well, sorry to say.
No, you're fine.
I have.
You do not have to apologize.
I know, it's just because this whole season you've been championing Chamber of Secrets so hard, so I feel a little bit bad. But then I have Sorcerer's Stone at fifth. Because I went back and forth with both of them. Because with Sorcerer's Stone, I was thinking a lot of, like, he just kind of touches him and he dissolves. And then, like, they play just chess with big pieces that move. But then, like, thinking about, like, oh, like, this is supposed to be, like, the final defenses before people get to the stone. Like, it's a little bit bigger. And with Chamber of Secrets, I was like, the Harry-Malfoy duel, like, doesn't last that long.
No.
It's really just, oh, here's a snake. Oh, I can speak to snakes.
What? Well, no, there's some good back and forth. Like they flip each other back a few times.
That's right. But it's still like kind of like,
I mean, it's like a 10-minute sequence.
I don't remember it being
from beginning to end, because there's like Snape and Gilderoy duel.
I remember Snape and Gilderoy,
and then
but then like
Harry
Malfoy thing
come up
itself.
And that's like another 3 or 4 minutes, and then the snake, and then he talks to the snake.
You also get some Quidditch fights.
You do get some Quidditch fights.
Yeah, I guess you do get Quidditch fights. But then it's kind of like, Harry with the basilisk, while it is like, yes, that is a magical fight. I don't know. There's just something about like the sword and sorcery part of it that just doesn't like, I don't know. There's something like this doesn't. I feel like this doesn't fit with like the rest of the magical fights that we have. But it is inherently magic.
It is a magic sword pulling out of a magic hat to fight a giant magic snake.
That is true.
That is controlled by a magic being.
By a magic ghost that lives inside of a book.
A magic book.
And this magic hat was brought by a magic bird to this magic kid.
In a magic cave.
In this magic school.
I digest. But
honestly, any fights in these movies have many elements
they're
of magic.
They're all inherently magic. I don't know. I guess I was thinking a little more of just like the wand.
Yeah.
Kind of explosion action. But then even trying to put that aside, I felt like the fights and confrontations in Chamber of Secrets they were definitely secondary to like finding the chamber itself and figuring out what's going on, and didn't really put that much. Even the like Malfoy Harry duel, I've always felt that was really just a reason to be like, oh, let's tell everyone Harry can talk to snakes. Here's a spell that summons a snake. I always felt like the action is definitely like a backseat to everything else and isn't as significant. Whereas with these other ones, it plays into everything considerably more.
Yeah.
The spider chase is pretty cool in that movie too.
Yeah. Spider chase.
And I will say that most of the elements of action in this movie do serve the greater mystery that is, you know.
Yeah. But then like compared to like,
I see where you're coming from for sure.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. I have no ill will. All of our fans who want us to fight more are going to hate that I'm like, no, you make some good points. I just disagree. Yeah.
All right, I'll take this opportunity to be like, fuck you, Robbie.
Where part one comes in for me, because I have it fourth, I think.
Yeah, you said fourth.
Fourth. It's, for me, very much like, it just kind of hits every note average for me. Because it's like, they have enough stuff to keep the pace going, and they all have an interesting thing to them. But never once I'm like, ooh, that's my favorite fight. They're just all really good. So they're like all like good enough, and they just kind of keep going. So I neither have anything really for it nor anything against it. I do really like Ron's confrontation with the locket. I think they copied that pretty well from the books, and I like the whole kind of like ink.
I will say about this book I have not read.
I know. I like the whole like it's very much got job. The kind of like it's like pretty, almost like. Like liquid.
It's like the giant like liquid storm cloud.
Storm cloud that then the silver stuff comes out.
The spider comes out.
Like all the amorphous like eyeballs and stuff coming out of it. So I think that's pretty cool. It's definitely hits smack dab in the middle of the pack for me.
Like that. I understand.
And then I have the other two.
Yeah.
The others.
Okay.
The other two.
So I'm not going to win this Chamber of Secrets fight, but I will say that if I had to choose my number three, then it would be Sorcerer's Stone over part one.
So what are y'all's number threes?
My number three was part one.
My number three was part two.
Okay. And you had part one and knows number two.
Yes.
So I have a number four, and you have number one, you have number two, and you have number three.
And then Robbie has it at six.
What do y'all have it?
Math.
Four?
At four?
This is where I have Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes.
I guess if I'm swapping, that's where I have Chamber.
Four, I have Prisoner of Azkaban.
I'm with you, Brett. I
have that at
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Five.
I also have that at five.
Well, okay. So from a mathematical perspective, I do think that Deathly Hallows is probably part one, probably goes next.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of a toss up between Sorcerer's Stone and Prisoner of Azkaban.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, so
number three, we are putting Deathly Hallows part.
We'll put part one. Yeah.
Okay. Just to give you a quick recap, that leaves us with number one, The Order of the Phoenix. Number two, The Deathly Hallows Part Two. Number three, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part Three. We're going to take a...
Part three.
Part one.
At number three, part one.
I was going so well and you
carefully.
Sorry about that.
Clip that.
I know. We've been clipping like crazy. Let's take a quick break and we'll figure out our bottom three right after this. And we're back.
Achaeofracus again.
Ooh. Good sandwich. I don't know. Book ending.
Welcome to part two of our Deathly Fracas.
Film Fracas part two.
But we got our first three picks set in stone.
Set in Sorcerer's
Stone. So really,
Stone.
All we have to talk about left now is what? Prisoner of Azkaban?
And Sorcerer's Stone. The first three movies.
Yes.
Sad.
Yeah, I have Prisoner of Azkaban at number 4, then I have Sorcerer's Stone, then Chamber of Secrets.
All right, and Shannon, are you the same?
Brett, do we have some sort of like mental connection?
I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah, because that's exactly what
we've had a lot of similar lists, or like if not like exactly the same, like you'd have one in one spot that I have in the next,
they wouldn't
and
be
vice
too
versa.
Far off. Yeah, because I have 3-1-2 in places 4-5-6.
Interesting.
So. Yep.
Interesting.
This is the season where I learned I apparently had the wrong Harry Potter opinions.
Not
welcome
the wrong.
To me in the Star Wars season, baby.
No, I seriously, I'm like, Order of the Phoenix and Chamber of Secrets are the two best movies. And everyone's like, no. I'm like, okay.
I like Order of the Phoenix.
It's good.
But I have Prisoner of Azkaban at number 4. Again, not a whole lot of the wand on wand, magic on magic, thwipping. But
you've got Hippogriff.
So
true,
on Sirius Black Dog. Which is magic to a certain extent.
The one that I was going to talk about was the Sirius Black Remus Lupin.
Yeah, the whole
battle of the
werewolf,
battle of the dogs, the canines.
Oh, wait, no, there's never Hippogriff. You know what I meant. Just pretend
werewolf,
like that was
werewolf
a thing.
Dog. There's a bit of thwipping in the
shrieking
shack.
Going after,
quickly,
going after very, Peter Pettigrew. Yeah.
The best moment, I think, is Harry using the Patronus on
I was working my way to that.
Okay, yeah.
But I just wanted to talk about the Sirius Remus fight because I feel like nobody talks about that when that's like fucking huge, because you never get like it's like magical beast on magical beast going at it, and then it's also like, oh, this person that Harry thought was like evil going against this like the seemingly bad person going against like the good person, and it's like, oh wow, it's kind of like that kind of like reversal kind of clash of,
even though they're actually both good,
yeah, they're both good, but still kind of like the like, because it's like, oh, this guy that was good is trying to kill us, and this guy that was we thought was trying to kill us is helping
it's
us.
Good, yeah.
So it was like kind of that reversal. I really like that. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, Harry going against the Dementors all throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Just really showing like the progression, like really showing Harry kind of like having like real development in the series as a whole. Because the first movie is just kind of like he's an 11-year-old kid. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just kind of throwing in things. Chamber of Secrets. He's going in a little over his head. Then part three, whatever, is when he's like, oh, here's a spell I can't do. And it's like, I remember being like, wait, hang on, there's a spell Harry can't do. And then at the end, he's like, oh, damn, look at me go. And it's like, okay, like Harry can like overcome his obstacles. He's really coming into his own. He's going to grow up to be a great wizard, hopefully. And so I thought it's real significant, really good, just really well done. That shot of the Dementor, like taking, do they take like the souls out of people?
Yeah.
It's just like the kiss, and you see like the little ball of light coming out of Sirius's mouth. And it's like,
they
that's
what Gary Oldman
look like. No, but
Gary Soldman, am I right?
Oh,
I'll give you that one. Give you that one. But so I have Azkaban number 4 because I think that's just kind of like you said with how you are with part one. It's kind of like it, like right in the middle. It's like it's good. Like I don't really have anything like against it, but I'm not gonna like
To me, the biggest show was because like I really like the werewolf transformation. In terms of the actual fight with like Sirius Black, it's not that long. They actually cut away from it.
Yeah, but it's like, I kind of compare it to like the Quirrell thing.
Yeah,
it's like, it really is just like I touch him, he dissolves. It's really just like dogs leap at each other, cut away. But it's like the significance of it and what they mean and like, yeah. But
yeah,
I digest.
But
digest.
Yeah, no, the Dementor bit to me is really the big, like, significant spectacle part.
Definitely is,
and it's cool. Music's good there too.
Very awesome.
That's
very
a part
cool.
where the music definitely takes over.
And then speaking of music, like, I'm not sure if you would count it as a fight, but when they're going up against the Boggarts, and just like that
That's cool.
Like
the jazzy,
the jazzy music, and they're all just there doing ridiculous. It's like. Not quite like a battle, but a little like training session, which I always think is nice. Then Harry's like, I'm scared of Dementors. And Remus is like, oh, you dumb fucking kid. So that's what happens, right? Harry's like, oh, that turns into a Dementor. And Remus is like, what? He pushes Harry out of the way, right?
Well, no, he just jumps in front of it.
Then you get the
and then it turns into
balloon.
A moon.
Yeah, and he deflates it.
Because the Dementor goes at Harry. Because then he even like commends Harry on the Dementor being his boggart. Because he said, I thought it would have been Lord Voldemort. And he said, I thought about that, but then my mind went back to the Dementor. And he said, that was actually very wise, because it means that the only thing you fear is fear itself. And so it's like, oh, deep.
John F. Kennedy.
Deep.
Oh, sorry, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
So,
John Kennedy's Ask Not What's Your Country.
But yeah. I fear itself, I and chowder.
Okay. But,
he's here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Carry on.
But, that's a good character moment, I think. Whole conversation on the bridge is because Lupin and Harry. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I mean,
it is a good movie. Like,
there's a lot to love.
It's one of the really good ones.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you would consider this magic on magic, but mm-hmm. I like the antagonistic tension that we get when Snape comes into the Shrieking Shack for the mm-hmm. first time, and you know, why don't you go play with your chemistry set, and,
yeah.
and all of the why quick don't you banter. Go
play with your chemistry set.
I mean, and Harry does attack a professor, and it's the first time we see the manifestation of all of this like question: Hermione, why does he hate me?
You know, hurt a teacher.
Although it's a bit one-sided and not quite a magical battle, I think mm-hmm. it adds a lot before everyone starts going after Pettigrew. But it's also very close, claustrophobic, cramped, most haunted house.
Also,
in Britain.
The like Dementors versus Harry in the Quidditch game.
Oh yeah,
whack.
Terrifying. So scary.
Like, in the middle of like a thunderstorm.
In the middle of like a lightning ice storm.
And then you get the grim cloud dog.
Yeah.
That swag. And then we have a reason for that amazing, you know, memorable final firebolt scene. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have that. We wouldn't have a broken Nimbus 2000.
Except
we wouldn't
the,
have a.
Except with
that's
the
a hippogriff, not a weird,
like,
fireball.
Weird, like, face distortion.
No, wait, what is it?
Blur
isn't
distortion.
It a hippogriff that he's on in
always
that final
throws
scene?
Me off
no,
every
it's
time.
The firebolt.
It's the
firebolt?
It's the new firebolt. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Sirius rode away on the hippogriff.
Yeah. You're
right, okay.
Then Harry jumps on the firebolt.
We've had some hippogriff
firebolt.
Mishaps, I feel that.
He flies to the left side of the screen, then his face
the hippogriff attacks Malfoy. Harry rides it. It attacks Malfoy, then it's chained up till they free them. And then
yes, and then it escapes
Sirius
death.
Rides off.
Wait,
off
then it dies, and then it doesn't, and then it attacks
but
the
it
werewolf.
Ever, did it ever die in the first place, or did they save it the whole time?
I don't know. Maybe it dealt with the past a little bit, and it's Bran. I don't know.
It already done it.
I think it's definitely just because I conflate the scene where he zooms and the scene where he holds his arms out on the...
Oh, yes.
They
yes.
are like
my
the
favorite,
flying over the water.
The second one is my favorite musical moment in Prisoner of Azkaban, and then the mm-hmm. first one, if I had the order correct. Buckbeak's Flight.
That's the right one, right? No? Is that two?
Chamber of Secrets, yeah.
What?
Wait, no, hold up.
Wait,
no, you're right.
What's...
Doyle to a Trouble...
No, it's just the same movie. It's... Right?
Yeah. Which one?
Prisoner of Azkaban is...
Oh, yeah. That's Prisoner of Azkaban.
I was saying, that's not your favorite musical moment?
Close.
Oh, yes. No, the singing toads.
It's my number two. The singing toads.
This way comes. Or the night bus music.
That's pretty good, too.
Which everybody in the audience gave a massive applause for when I went to see Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban live in concert. That was because they had, like... the Austin Choral Ensemble, ooh, bigwigs,
yeah,
nice.
Pretty much, you know,
nice.
There for that
big
was
wigs.
that was their moment to shine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was exciting.
I will also say the night bus in general is overlooked in the Harry Potter community, the general Harry Potter community.
I like that sequence. It's got some honest to goodness like slapstick in it, which you don't get a lot of like good slapstick in the Harry Potter series.
But also, okay.
But like, where else would you put slapstick in the Harry
Potter
series?
There are opportunities.
Because, I mean, like, you get the just the right amount of comedy throughout.
Yes.
Yeah.
To finish my point, at Universal Studios in Florida.
To cut Robbie off again. No, I'm sorry.
I'm just going to let this
sit. Isn't theme park fracas, Robbie.
It is when I talk.
Just...
Yes. But outside of the King's Cross Station entrance, or King's Cross and the Leaky Cauldron entrance to Diagon Alley... There is a replica of the night bus that frequently has a night bus driver talking to a shrunken head, and people walk right past it as if that's not the coolest thing. Like,
There are cool other things, but that is cool.
Shrunken Heads.
Is this in the same part of the park as the Haunted Mansion, or is that a different part of the park?
That's a different part of the park.
Okay. So I got the one park number four.
That is Orlando, Florida. It's just one park.
Okay.
Minus the theme park that they shot the Florida Project in. Fun fact. It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big blue.
Yeah.
Hotel. World?
It's just
blue, lavender, pink.
It is just, you know.
Okay, let's.
What are we talking?
Let's bring it back in here.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we want to work this out?
Because I got Azkaban at 4, and then Sorcerer's Stone at 5.
I have Sorcerer's Stone. We both have Sorcerer's Stone at 3, and I have Prisoner of Azkaban.
I thought Robbie had Chamber of Secrets at 3.
Or he's.
I was willing to switch them for the sake of keeping part one down.
Stick to your guns, man.
I didn't want to. I ended up shanking away part one being my last anyway, so...
Do we want to put it at... Because we both have
it... So we can call it my true four, then. We can call it...
So I've got it at 3, you've got it at 4, y'all both have it at 5.
Yeah.
And then I've got Prison of Azkaban at 5. Where do you have Prison of Azkaban?
I have it at 5.
You have it at 5, and you both have it...
At 4.
At 4.
I think...
We need to pick what number 4 is.
I think the fact that you have it at...
3?
Yeah, because I would say that the 3...
Well, the 2-5 places cancel out.
Yeah.
Right?
What?
Because y'all both have Prison of Azkaban at 5, and we both have...
At 4.
Or we both have Prison of Azkaban at 5, and y'all both have Sorcerer's Stone at 5.
So that all... Yeah, that should all...
That should all cancel out.
So... Yeah, so, I mean, as long as it doesn't upset anyone, Sorcerer's Stone 4, Prisoner of Azkaban 5...
That I think that's about how it would shake out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which unfortunately decides our 6 as well.
As Chamber of Secrets. Yeah.
I don't know that anyone was surprised by that except for Robbie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say surprised. Upset, maybe.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Feeling down.
Not upset. Just very disappointed.
I'm not mad. Just disappointed.
All right. So, yeah, that's
not
that.
Enough love to this movie.
Yeah. It's long.
That's okay.
It's got a lot of good stuff, but
yeah,
it is.
It's good. I just.
Nearly 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean.
As I said, it's the only one I would ever describe as a slog.
Yeah, like you get one, and it's like, oh, yeah, exciting. Like this is the Wizarding World. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to get to 3, but there's something in the middle between there. Although.
I don't disagree.
I don't skip 2. I very much enjoy 2.
No, I never skip 2. I do watch it.
I very much enjoy 2. It's just.
I mean, all of these films are.
You definitely
great.
Feel its length. When you're watching it.
I disagree, but okay.
Yeah.
These are not facts. This is propaganda.
Put forward
by the anti-Chamber
Does
of Secrets
anyone have
media.
Any, so we're saying farewell to Chamber of Secrets. It got touched by an 11-year-old and turned into dust. Does anyone have any final comments on any of our films that they wish to say their peas on? Their peas and carrots?
No, I think I'm okay.
No.
I think we've talked. I mean, I want to spend time doing our whole thing about this.
Well, you know,
like how we, you know, I would love to spend the same time we spent talking about Goblet of Fire at the end of episode 1.
Okay, Chamber of Secrets. I will say real quick, there's something inherently satisfying about watching that diary get destroyed with the basilisk thing, like all of
the ink blood.
That was probably I think it's my brother's favorite movie for that reason. And then also he had a dinosaur phase that coincided with watching the Basilisk for the first time. So that
fair enough.
It got watched.
I remember having the Basilisk action figure.
It
had like the neck was like, had like a spring action in it that you hit a button and it
sounds pretty cool.
Like
very nice.
That sounds very nice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I will, you know, give my love to the, I think there's a lot of memorable stuff when it comes to Harry Potter as a whole that I think we attach to the childhood memories of Harry Potter. I think the instant laugh you feel when you see that meme that combines the end of Fast and Furious 7 with Ron looking over at Harry from the Ford Angela. like just knowing exactly what's going on in the juxtaposition. I think it's just got... It's a very pure Harry Potter movie. I think it's got some of your best moments with the characters. I think as a whole, it may not be as mature of a movie as the movie that immediately follows it, which I will say for a long time was a reason why I didn't like the movie that immediately followed it. Because I did. The Prisoner of Azkaban, I was not a fan for a while. And still sits kind of right in the middle for me. But I understand it's a well-made movie. But that being said, Chamber of Secrets, peace out. My second favorite in the series.
Get out of here. There's the door.
All right. Well,
you pointed nowhere
that was
in
our
general.
Episode. Where's goodbye, the door, Brett? Chamber of Secrets. We're down to our final five now.
Only
three more episodes.
Three more episodes. This feels like it's a quick season.
But
it is still just eight movies.
Yeah. But anywho, that's our show. You can find me on Twitter at CA Spilliards, like Spills Me Your Yard and add an S. My recommendation this week is, oh gosh, I really should have thought of this beforehand. I'm going to recommend, we haven't recommended WALL-E, have we?
No.
I love WALL-E. I actually got it yesterday.
That's a good one.
It's so good. Like, lots of people talk about Up as being like the most mature like Pixar, but I really think it's WALL-E.
Yeah,
WALL-E to me has the most depth and complexity to it. And you have to think there's no dialogue in that movie for the first like 45 minutes.
And then even after that,
it's pretty sparse. It's pretty sparse. So I think it's maybe Pixar's most mature film. Beautiful, like simply gorgeous.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. I love WALL-E. That's probably my favorite Pixar movie.
It's definitely up there for me. It's like Toy Story 3, WALL-E. I actually like Inside Out a lot.
I'm a fan.
Like WALL-E and then the first Incredibles is like a super close second. Because the Incredibles is a lot more mature than people kind of give
Incredibles
credit for.
Is good too.
Anyway.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Robbie_DeShazer across platforms. This week, because the sequel is coming out soon, I'm going to recommend that you go rewatch, because I know you've all watched it already. Go rewatch the Lego Movie. It's a lot of fun. I rewatched it recently in preparation to see the second part, and I love it. I love it. It's so much fun. It's a good time. I didn't give it a chance when it came out in theaters, and I deeply regret not seeing it there. So
it's a good one.
It's a lot of fun.
Everything is awesome.
I was there opening.
Everything
weekend,
is like cool.
Well, look at Carter, Mr. Moneybags.
I wasn't gonna miss it.
Laughing himself all the way to the theater.
It came out on Valentine's Day when it came out. I think I had a date. Yeah.
What was that? So that was.
It's a good. I would say it's a good date movie.
That is.
It was a good
date
movie. It was very cute. Yeah.
So that was what, like 2014.
My significant other.
Yeah, I think it was 2014.
Watched it and she quite enjoyed it. Now I'm gonna have to go back and tell her that her favorite Harry Potter movie lost, but.
Well, I don't have to deal with the fallout of that. So, find me on Twitter and Snapchat at BrettJHNSN1. I'm going to be recommending the anime series My Hero Academia, or if you're a purist, it's a Boku no Hero Academia. It's really good. It's about this society has developed superhuman powers called quirks, and only about 80% of the world has quirks. This little boy who wants to be a superhero so bad doesn't have a quirk. So it's about him kind of like somebody bequeaths the power to him. And it's about him like trying to become a hero and about like his place in society and trying to do the best he can. And there's a whole lot of heart to it. Character designs are great. And it's all the best of like superhero comics without all the bullshit. And so it's, if you don't like anime, it's an anime for people that don't like anime. If you don't like superhero comics or superhero movies, it's a good thing for, it's the best part of superheroes for people that don't generally like superhero genre stuff. So I can't recommend it enough. It's great. Check it out. Yeah.
Hey, guys. You can find me on Letterboxd at ZedsDead5. This week, I'm going to be recommending Loving Vincent, which came out in 2017. Ooh. Have we already...
No.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it. We may have talked about it outside of the podcast.
It was something that I picked up at the library over the summer, having heard about it, and was really excited to see that it had gotten, there was an available DVD copy. And it's absolutely mesmerizing. I mean, keep in mind, I watched this on my laptop, which is not at all the ideal viewing environment for a film this stunning. But even still, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's a narrative that, I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's the story of Vincent van Gogh's professional life mainly, but I couldn't say enough good things about it. You just have to experience it. It's absolutely wonderful. Not sure where you can watch it, but I'm sure there's an available copy or somewhere that you can find it, but it's wonderful.
Cool. All right, then.
All right.
This has been another great episode of Film Fracas in Hogwarts.
Yes.
Yeah. We've got just a couple more episodes left, and then we will decide definitively what the best Harry Potter movie is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we will be sending our findings into J.K. Rowling and telling her that she can't say anything else about these movies or books because it's all been said.
All she can tell us is where the wizard's shit.
Yep.
So she already told us
that. The floor.
So
she told us that a long time ago, and that just blew up for some reason recently.
Because it's dumb.
It is.
It's so dumb. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. we'll see you next week. Same place, same time, or something like that. Expelliarmus.